The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 583. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going? And happy month.
Hey, Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brett Murdoch.
Yo, yo, mama.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And of course, Brian Mungioma.
What up, what up, what up?
All right, we have returned. Right before we get started, a couple of you asked us questions about the recent Sony and Nintendo financials. Unfortunately, we don't have Chris here tonight because there's some crazy-ass storms in Texas. I don't know if Carlos can verify that. I'm pretty sure he can. So he's like, yo, let's save this for Thursday, you know?
Yeah, I got the ass end of that storm, so it barely even reached here. But yeah, I see the wave patterns.
Yeah. No, I saw the map. I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, so yeah, Chris did give me the option of like, you know, he would just give me the data. And I do it. I'm like, no, we got to do this right, bro. You do it, you know, and we get the twofer, you know, because he's going to combine that and the Nintendo financials. So Thursday, you're going to get charts, people, you know, good stuff. All right. With that out of the way, let's get into these questions. Some of you asked us three questions, but I'll allow it because we didn't get too many questions today. But with three questions, then we rounded up to a nice show. So we're good. We're good. All right, first couple of questions here from Mr. Matt Wheaton. And yes, I know couple means two, but fuck you. And I, by the way, Matt, because we couldn't answer one of your questions from last week, but you rephrased it. And I appreciate that. So we will answer it because now it's more appropriate. We don't want to get us in trouble, you know? So he goes, to rephrase my question from last week, will we see the end of the slop era in gaming come to an end soon? Or is there still too much work to be done before we get gaming back to greatness? It's going to take a while because games take so long to develop. You know, like basically the games that you're seeing now were developed like 5-6 years ago. So whatever was happening in the culture during that time is what being put out now, despite things having changed. So it's going to take a while. Gaming is a very slow boat. It takes a while to, you know, move it.
I mean, it's like the thing about it is it's a very slow boat if you're looking for the fidelity of a modern game, right? So you're going to, you know, if you want a game that, you know, despite how, you know, despite, you know, the fanfare that Expedition 33 had, it did.
That took 5 years.
It took 4 to 5 years to make. Mm-hmm. So granted, they did it with like half the staff of a, or less than half the staff.
Yeah, like a fraction.
A fraction of a staff of a AAA game. I think even Pragmata had like 100 people on. But it does show. But I think, you know, it's like you're still going to have to deal with those sort of times unless the experiences sort of go back to sort of, you know, smaller experiences and obviously, you know, more focused experiences. You know, in other words, we're not trying to throw all the kitchen sink at everything. You know, I think maybe you could possibly get a couple of those things out, but I don't think it would be. I don't know if it will happen. You know,
no,
you know, be neat. If we could find a way to like play verified in development games before they were finished as a sort of test bed and proof of concept, and then give the developers feedback to help change the direction of that game to be more of a success instead of them shooting the dark, we should try that. Call it like early get in or something.
Yeah, well, but the problem is how many developers are willing to let people see the sausage being made. I don't think all developers will want their games to be
early access. Obviously,
you need to. Because you're making the sausage wrong. When you're folding baby shit into the sausage and somebody's like, hey, you shouldn't do that, the goal isn't to fucking hide the shit sandwich, man. Like,
Like, yeah, but I'm just saying developers are not enough. They're not going to go along with that.
That's
go
also ahead, assuming that every single thing that's developed in 5 years is a shit sandwich. I mean, that's not exactly the case. Obviously, you know, you're using Larian as the example here. But at the same time, it's like, look at the size of the game that they're throwing there. Granted, also Larian also had quite a significant staff, a very huge staff.
Larian, yeah. Valheim, yeah. Enshrouded. There's like a half a dozen other games that I can... Yeah. call out there, but yeah, they're mostly going to be what are considered indie space games. So my initial response to this is, in terms of AAA, bold of you to assume that we're getting rid of the slop to begin with, because I have never seen the slop roll backwards and us start getting
no one's making that assumption. Yeah, no one's making that assumption, Brett, by the way.
No, it's not making on that.
No, I think
it's oh sorry
go ahead, Brett. I was
proud of Manny, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, like, it's I don't like it's a weird one, because it's like, again, like, yeah, somebody could go down the line of essentially checks and balances all the way a development title. But, I mean, also, there's also the side is like, hey, we have an idea and we just want to put that idea out there. Oh, well, it didn't work out. I mean,
yeah,
there's also that sort of thing. Like,
I mean, I agree. I actually think there's a very interesting thing that's going on, and I'm going to steer away just from gaming for just a second. Just bear with me. I know I'm getting hyper-focused here. Been doing some home labbing stuff, and I've noticed a distinct same with the way that these things are structured. And I think we're reaching a point in technology where the hyper big companies have access to technology and labor that just the rest of the industry doesn't. So we're seeing a definite tiered system. The problem is, as like with the home labbing stuff, like I could buy a mini PC today and run an AI at home that would take like 2 5090s 2 years ago and drain half your house's power, right? So like, you do get to the point of diminishing return. And in that place, you're seeing what's happening is there's a lot of people like myself with cheap setups that are starting to run up on people like Tony with expensive setups. And that shouldn't be fucking happening, but it is. And I can't help but wonder if some of the same stuff is going on in the video game industry, where you have so many high powered executives with resumes a mile long, who are all looking for the best paying job and working the corporate ladder. And then on the other side, you have people with a generation old tech but heart turning out, not the best visually demanding games. Like, Elden Ring didn't look the best, but man, that game slapped. And yeah, that's not an example of what I'm talking about in anything other than, like, you don't have to look the best to be the prettiest. But even like fucking Valheim looks God damn gorgeous at times. And that game is also kind of a dumpster fire of graphics. Like, it is, if you, everything were like 8-bit weird pixelated, but the volumetric shadowing and the ambience in that game, like, there's times you're just like, God damn, this is gorgeous. So I think we're finding a place where we're having more and more mid-range studios with mid-range, I mean, even the equipment in them, right? Like, I'm talking about this equipment. Like, think of the shit the developers are working with. Like, if you want to buy bleeding edge hardware to make new games, that's just going to be fucking expensive. But you can pick up a 4080 for decently cheap and start programming off that. Are you going to get the brand new Unreal game? Probably not. You're going to do something more indie developed, but you're going to have to bootstrap from the middle and show your competence through producing good stuff before you get to the high end of, having the money to just spend on blockbuster graphics. So I'm not saying it's like an indie movie versus blockbuster thing. I feel like this is a whole new thing where the gap between the two is closing. And I don't mean like as an indie developer or enthusiast, I appreciate this. I mean like I think that it's getting easier and easier for the little guys to swing up at the big guys, because most of the tech gap isn't even in video games right now. Most of the money isn't even in video games. So like, we're reaching this weird place that like Ready Player One, where like 10-year-old tried and tested gear is still working. And that's another reason. That's why like we're pushing back the next gen, because we don't need the next gen. The games aren't being made for the next gen. The hardware is not being made for the next gen. What the fuck do we need a next gen for? We haven't used this one.
Yeah. But yeah, the other thing I was thinking about is like, think about how we got this surge of like games as live service games, right? Why? Because they were hot 5-6 years ago. So it just takes a long time for this stuff to autocorrect. So it's going to be a while. That's basically the end of it. Is
oh, it's not just games.
I know, but we're sticking to games right now. It's just going to take a while. So be patient. That's why I say
that's my point, Tony. When I say it's not just games, that's me saying I don't think it's going to take a while. I don't think it's ever going to happen. And they're not bringing down these walls slowly. They're going to keep putting weight on them until they collapse. There is no soft landing from this bullshit. We're crash landing this spaceship. We're doing a launch pad landing.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I'll say if it happens, it'll take a while. There you go.
I also think places, places like Sony underestimated what they should be spending on a game that is a service game. If you look at the service game space in general, most of those service games have very low investment. They have low investments, and then they also have short time frames. Look at the last Failguard game, not the one by PlayStation, but that other one that showed up on the Game Award. I think those guys who worked on that game only just got fired like 3 years ago,
Jesus,
or something like that. So they developed that game in like 3 years, or around close to 3 years to make that game that just crashed and burned.
Highguard?
Which one? Is it Highguard? Is that the one with the one with Jeff?
No, the one that Jeff Keighley pushed. That one, right?
Yeah, those guys that worked on that game, they just closed down that studio that made Titanfall, didn't they? Right?
I think so.
A year or two before. So they developed that game relatively quickly in that short amount of time. So it can be done, but again, I don't think a lot of investment was made in that game in general.
Yeah,
I don't think so. Let me ask you, did he need this isn't me like being platonic or anything like that. Like I'm actually just genuinely like I don't know if you need a lot, because a lot of those online games, they kind of feel like fighting games. And I'm sorry for saying this.
You don't
need a full roster to prove that the game doesn't suck.
I agree with you. The problem is they keep putting more stuff in that they need to. You're 100% right. There's something made in IFSS for years. For these type of live service games, you don't need a lot. Why are you putting so much shit in there? Why are you investing all this money? You know,
you get if you have a compelling gameplay loop of your title, right? That should be the thing that initially gets you over the base. Like you look at what was that other game? There's another one that was a big, pretty big service game too. Not Overwatch, but it was another sort of hero shooter game. Did very well, but it didn't have a lot of investment. But what the key was, a part of it, and I also say maybe Overwatch as well, is that they had compelling gameplay initially, things that people like to do. And then
is it Valorant by any chance?
Yeah, Valorant. That one also didn't have a huge investment in it either, but it had a compelling enough gameplay loop for people to enjoy, and interesting looking characters. Kind of the Overwatch thing. But again, I don't think that they spent a lot of money to build that game. I think they just said, okay, we got our X amount of characters, variety of characters, and we're putting out, we have a pretty decent gameplay loop. All right. And then they just sparse things out. But again, but with that space, how do you break people off of the other thing that they get, especially when you look at how crowded the space is? There's so many of these things that are getting put out, and only a few of them still continue to exist.
Yeah, I don't know what that weird noise was.
That sounded like a phone vibrating.
Probably was. Anybody else want to jump in on this before you go to the next question? All right,
the original question?
When are we going to start? When is the slop era of games going to end? And will it ever?
Oh, no, it'll never end. We've had slop every generation. Like, think about it. We've had it in the PS2 era, in the SNES era, in the NES era. We've had slop every generation. The slop will never end. It's just the fact when we'll have.
Except, Carlos, this generation has all been slop, according to me and you.
It's just nothing but slop with, slim pickings and with the rest of the quality stuff.
We get
maybe two or three like really, really good games every year, maybe. But I don't foresee that happening. Just to add to the game development stuff.
Yeah.
Developers need to learn that they and you guys have mentioned this plenty of times today. It's like you gotta make games that are cheaper. You can't take these huge ass swings at video games because they're a trend. Like the Concordian timeline.
Yeah.
You You got to start getting developers, make small games, and hoping that one of them sticks. You know, make a Portal. Portal was is a really, really small game, the original Portal, and it was a hit. And they made Portal 2, and for some goddamn reason, there's no Portal 3. I'm still waiting, Gabe. So they need to make like small games and see what sticks. You know, you got a lot of talented developers that could probably, you know, make, you know, have ideas about stuff, but they can't make them because the corporations are asking them to make a Fortnite clone.
Yeah.
Or a hero shooter clone. And,
That's exactly the problem. They'd rather put all their money on one big thing that could do well instead of a bunch of little things. You know, it's like, it's stupid. Movies are like that as well, and comics as well.
Yeah.
It's insane. All right, let's move on because we still got a bunch of questions here. Another one from Mr. Matt Wheaton. Given that the younger generation is embracing the games we played in our youth, is physical analog gaming poised for a comeback, or is the all digital future still inevitable? Yeah, for you guys who don't know, younger like Gen Z people are going back, not just games, everything. They're going back to analog now. They want tapes, they want CDs, they want VHS. I'm like, this is pretty like encouraging. Cool. Like the older I get, the more I'm like, we really should have stopped technological progress in the early 2000s. Like, we fucked up majorly since then. And, you know, it seems like the youth are really getting into that stuff. Bro, this is probably my only chance to say this. We now live in an age where a fucking Neo Geo console costs less than a modern console. Think about that, you know? So, and that's an all pure analog machine. So, I think it's cool. You know, I'm glad they're going, hey, you know, the stuff we got now sucks. Let's go back to the past. You know, now the question is, you know, will companies start catering and make more physical shit? Some are, but it's not the standard yet. You know,
to be honest, like a lot of that physical stuff is all sort of set later on. Like a lot of those, like places like Limited Run Games and, you know, Strictly Limited Games and a bunch of those things. Well, more like Limited Run Games, but a lot of those titles that come up through those things, they don't even release on day and date. They're like released later.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay, so what, you're just waiting until they have all your patches in and then press it to a disc? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Shout out to The Real Innate. He goes, my niece asked for a record player. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Well, it's funny. It's like it's jumped back to record players.
Yeah, they skipped CDs.
they skipped CDs because, you know, because there's the what people, you know, at least audiophiles think is that the LPs actually have better sound quality than even just the CDs.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. Go ahead, Carlos.
They don't, but I mean, it's sort of the. It does have its own flavor that people, but I don't think it's because of that. I think it's because of streaming. Streaming has made it so music is so the McDonald's vacation of everything, where it's like it's fast food. And I feel like a lot of young fans of artists use vinyl as a way to sort of collect and support and present their admiration to the artists. So I've seen this in a lot of videos recently, in the past few years. A lot of folks have like vinyls in their background, you know, like the vinyl records where you see the album covers.
Yeah.
Print artists. So I feel like that's also part of it. It's good. I like it. I'm as someone that's been collecting vinyl for decades now. You know, I'm glad that folks are doing it. Hopefully a lot more artists have been doing it, but you know, hopefully even more artists start, you know, having more vinyl.
The Real Innate also says, and it's kind of related to what you said, it's largely a response to the future of digital rights. Yeah, people are getting fed up with DRM and all that stuff. They'd rather have the thing. Yeah. Or they're, you know, if we go into like the book segment, they're tired of companies either wiping out your books or changing things that might be quote unquote problematic. If you own a fucking book, they can't change nothing, you know? So yeah, I think that's a good thing that we're kind of going back to analog.
And also, vinyl LPs are also more presentable, where they have a bigger package. Some have gatefolds, some have inserts. Enjoy. That's why I feel like CDs might have, weren't as admirable or as something that people wanted more than vinyls, a larger art form even bigger. So, you know, it's a perfect storm for that.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Moving on here, another one from Mr. Matt Wheaton. This one's interesting. With the Star Fox remake just announced, will this spark interest in the franchise? Could we see a sequel in the near future, or is the franchise dead as a doornail? I ask because Star Fox is my favorite Nintendo IP next to Metroid, Zelda, and of course Xenoblade. Maybe, you know?
I mean, I just have a problem with them constantly remaking the same title over and over and over again.
Yeah, just the first Star Fox.
It's literally just this first Star Fox being remade again. It's a remake of a remake of a remake.
Yeah.
That's pretty... They haven't really made anything in a while. And I don't know if these people already love Star Fox. I don't know how many more new people they're going to get, but I would say not that many.
Barry Bird says,
you'll get
that. Yeah. If Barry Bird says, do a remake roll.
Do a remake roll.
Do a remake roll. Yeah, I don't really have anything to add. I've only ever played the first Star Fox. That's literally my experience with the franchise, you know? Mm-hmm. Didn't you need like a super scope or something for that shit? Or am I thinking of something else? I'm probably thinking about something else. You didn't need any peripherals for that game, right?
No, you didn't. I mean, okay. The only thing that it had special about it was the
cartridge.
It had the effects chip in.
Yeah. But yeah, maybe, you know, does anybody have any thoughts on Star Fox? I don't think a lot of us, you know, big Star Fox players here.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's sort of like the way the Metroid franchise goes. It's like there's interest in it in the West, but I don't think it's enough to essentially warrant. I don't think it's going to change that much. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, Star Fox is, you know, in the spotlight now thanks to the movie and, you know, this remake. So yeah, go ahead.
That's the interesting thing, you know, you mentioned it. It has some sort of a role, no pun intended.
Yeah.
Because of the movie, you know, the movie is a huge hit. I think it almost made $1 billion or $1 billion, just like that.
Yeah.
So it would have been a great opportunity to put that character design on this remake. And
yeah, they should have.
Maybe that would lead to more sales and have a huge enough response from the Gen Z crowd and the younger folks. Maybe it would have been even more of a showcase, missed opportunity.
Yeah. All right. So that's Matt Wheaton's questions. Next up, we got three questions from one of our longtime listeners, the Drunken Demon. Very interesting.
No. Demon, man.
Yeah. This first one's pretty funny. How did Jeff Keighley acquire the Torrance curse? So, Brian, for no particular reason, I've heard that you may know Drunken Demon. What is he mean by the Torrance curse?
So, for those that aren't aware, there's a gentleman called Torrance Davis who, I'm sorry, Torrance, but it's just amazing. Torrance Davis had an uncanny ability to predict games that weren't going to do well, and he would do this by saying that the game would do well. Hence, he created the Torrance curse. So any game that he would mention would somehow just do really badly. And now it seems like Jeff Keighley has acquired this ability, and I don't know how and why. So I just thought maybe other people might know how that has happened, because I honestly don't. I'm sure Drunken Demon also does not. So
or kill a
very
pigeon.
Good question.
Or kill a pigeon. You know, you shouldn't have to kill a pigeon.
He's been offline for days.
Shit. Days, damn. I think this all started from, you know, Jeff Keighley talking smack to Torrance on Twitter all those years ago. You know, that's where the infamous excuse me came from, you know.
Oh, Torrance was trying.
Yeah, it was on Twitter. Torrance was just trying to get Jeff Keighley's attention. Jeff Keighley didn't want to answer, but as soon as Torrance, he called him a ball kisser or whatever. So, he called him something like that. He was licking balls or something. And then Jeff Keighley responded with, "Excuse me?" And that's where that was born. So ever since that era, that's my prediction. That's when he gained the Torrance curse.
So in other words, it's past insult. So if you get somehow, Torrance somehow gets your attention, you know, and you react to it, and it's like it's passed to you. It's kind of like you know, like some sort of like curse, like the black spot or something.
Yeah. So there you go. So that's my theory, and I'm sticking with it.
I mean, just imagine this. Summer Games Fest, a couple of weeks from, you know, maybe a month or two. Oh, yeah. It's actually a month from now. Oh, damn. Yeah, it's almost here.
Excuse me?
It's the Jeff Keighley show, you know, part one. Part two comes later in the year. Summer Games Fest, at the end of the show, he does his big announcement, a.k.a. newly accrued curse, and he announces GTA 6 and shows the first gameplay of GTA 6. His biggest get of his life, he does the fake cry and everything.
Yeah, of course.
If it's a curse akin to the Torrance curse, then that means GTA 6 is bound to fail, which means Torrance Davis is to blame for the video game crash.
Damn, Torrance, you heard that? Fucking up the gaming industry, bro. Put a pin on that. If GTA 6 fails, blaming that shit on Torrance. Oh, man. Oh, that's a fun question. All right, next up, another one. Oh, hey, Rich, this one's specifically for you, sir. Are you there? Let's wait for Richard to come back.
He's getting his mic together.
There he is, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Drunken Demon wants to know, should we watch Mortal Kombat 2?
Oh, well, first and foremost, that is a phenomenal question from this Drunken Demon fellow. Don't know who this is, though. But yeah, funny timing, because I saw the movie at about 5 o'clock, well, earlier tonight. I saw the movie before we were recording, just in case there was a question that came up. And I didn't see the questions ahead of time, so this really is a interesting situation here. So the short of it, the movie is significantly better than the first Mortal Kombat movie. Obviously, the fight choreography and the fatalities, I think they did a very good job with both of those things. You have the corny one-liners and all the other stuff we know about from Mortal Kombat. That's in there, too. There are a few things that I had some issues with. I'm obviously not going to go into spoilers for those that are going to see the movie. But I would say it's certainly a movie that is worth seeing. But in the spirit of Throwdown, you know, I have to say something controversial. And I will say this. And when I say this, I mean this 1,000%. There was a whole bunch of trailers that I saw prior to this movie. And there was one trailer in particular I saw. Well, yeah, I saw the Odyssey. Yeah, I said that looks great. But one trailer I saw in particular, again, for the second or third time, and I'm going to tell you right now, I am convinced that Street Fighter movie is going to be way better than this movie. I had that feeling after I saw it the second time in the theater this time. And it's like, yeah, that was great. The audience responded great. But overall, I would say this movie is decent. Would I say that you should go and spend $20+ at a matinee to see it? Absolutely not. You can wait for this to come out digitally, whether it's on a streaming platform or the Happy Place. I would say, yeah, it was definitely decent. Way better than that last movie. And of course, they corrected a couple of issues people had with that last movie. I'm not going to say what that is, but yeah, definitely better than the first movie.
All right, there you go, Drunken Demon. And the last question, also from Drunken Demon, and we have a follow-up question that's related to this as well. How much danger is Bungie in? If you guys haven't heard, Marathon not doing so well. And just on Friday, we had this report saying that basically Bungie is worth like $765 million less than they were valued for, you know, before. Some reports said that they cost Sony how much money. No. It's just that's how much value they have lost. So things aren't looking good for Bungie. And Manny and I were talking off air before this. Wouldn't it be crazy if Bungie gets shuttered? Effectively, Sony killing the studio that made Microsoft, you know, made Microsoft and Xbox. Hello? You know, bro, that would be crazy, you know? So what my personal theory is, because I think that Sony does not want that look on them. I think they'd rather just sell it off to somebody else. Maybe they'll sell it to Microsoft. But yeah, man, what do you guys think about you know, Bungie, man, what, you know, are they looking like BioWare to you nowadays?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look, they acquired them for like what, 3 point something billion?
Yeah,
a couple of years ago, like you mentioned, they just lost a whole bunch of value. The appraiser was not happy with
you know,
what they saw. It sucks. I, you know, but they still, I guess they still have the Destiny card. I feel like they need to release the Destiny before they can, you know, claim this either a success or failure, because that's really the reason they acquired them. I don't think they even acquired them for the marathon. You know, that's something Bungie had in the plans, and they just inherited. And you know,
I think,
and at the time that they,
yeah, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but I also think they bought them because they wanted Bungie to make all those live service games, or at least consult for those. You know.
Well, that was going to be my second point on that. I was like, and also, you know, the person who purchased them was Jim Ryan, and his vision was live service it up. So, you know, it was a happy marriage until the Grim Reaper left and left the trail of a bullshit Concordian timeline.
So is Destiny a Concordian game in retrospect?
Marathon is, but
yeah.
We'll see about that.
Yeah. What's up, Rich?
Well, I will say this. It is unfortunate if a Bungie gets shut down. However, there is a core group of fans out there that remember Bungie consulted on The Last of Us multiplayer game and made sure that game didn't launch. So I'm sure they would be happy if something bad happens to Bungie, because they didn't like that game got canceled. So, but what I will say for Bungie, like Carlos said, Destiny is a very, and this is what I don't really understand. They had a very, very easy decision to make. Just make Destiny 3. You know, Destiny 2, I don't know when this game came out. It feels like this game has been out for forever.
Yeah.
And they just continue to release expansions, so on and so forth, when they could just make a new Destiny game. I think that would have been better received than Marathon or any other stuff they were working on, because Destiny already has a fan base. So I didn't really understand that decision. But like you guys said, the live service model, that was what they decided, well, what they were told they needed to do, but they also wanted to do it as well. So it is what it is. But I don't think they're going to get shuttered anytime soon. But Marathon, you know, that game is definitely on its last leg. So we'll have to see where things go from here.
Yeah. So Rich, just to answer your question, Destiny 2 came out in 2017. I know this because I went to the Coalition right now, and you at the time had posted you yourself had posted a review in progress. And I specifically checked that because I know I reviewed the first Destiny for the Coalition. So it has been a minute. It's been a minute since these games dropped.
definitely.
Yeah. But yeah, I think they're not looking good for Bungie, you know. Despite what some people may tell you, Marathon, and as a matter of fact, because we're going to be on this topic for a little bit, Brian, do me a favor, bro. Look up those numbers, man. Let's see how Marathon's faring nowadays. While you do that, I'll move on to this next question, which is also about Bungie, from Mr. Lego Bro. Should Sony get rid of Bungie and turn it into a single-player studio? I don't think they're going to do that, you know? I don't think they're going to do that. Barry Burton says you could take the combined budgets of Marathon and Concord and start a country. Damn. I mean, those shits cost a lot of money. It's true. But yeah, they're not going to turn it into a single player studio. That wouldn't make any sense, because Bungie has always been, you know, multiplayer has always been a central part of their success, even with the old Halos, especially with the old Halos, you know? So they're not going to do that. I kind of don't understand why you would think they'd be better off as a single player studio. It's a little strange there, you know, but no, I think that's a bad idea. Anyway, Brian, you got some numbers for me?
Yes, I do.
All right.
So the Marathon numbers are a peak 0.4 count of 14,500, and right now there's 11,000 players.
Shit. Damn.
It's not good overall, because it's gone down since launch, but that's expected because games do that. But it has stabilized. I'm looking at the last 7 days, and it's been getting around 13, 14, 15,000.
Okay.
So it seems to have stabilized at this point. Whether or not people are happy with those numbers is another story, but it appears to have stabilized.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the numbers aren't great, but they're stable at least. So that's something. That's better than Concord, you know? So, Rich, what are your thoughts on this? What should Sony do with Bungie?
Well, this single player idea, I understand why they came to that conclusion, because they're looking at all the other games Sony has been doing with the first party studios. However, I'm going to go back to what I said before. Bungie has a very simple assignment. Make Destiny 3. That's it. Now, whether it's a single player, or multiplayer, whatever, just make Destiny 3. And I'm sure that the fans they have that were already invested in Destiny will definitely support this game. But again, they do have a window of time to do this. Because, I mean, they should have, like I said, instead of working on Marathon, they should have just released that game and did that and did that. That should have been the game that they should have been releasing around this time. But it is what it is. But we'll see what happens. But I will say this. I did hear that if they are going to make Destiny 3, Carlos will be the first of this group to try out that game. So I look forward to hearing what he has to say.
Funny you say that, because I was going to call on Carlos next, because he is the big Halo fan from back in the day. So, hey, Carlos, what do you think of that prospect? You know, Sony shutting down Bungie, killing the Halo studio.
I mean, it's some kind of poetry, I guess, because, you know, it is, you know, Sony, for as much as they dominated, they never had a Halo equivalent. They tried. Nope. They tried a Haze.
Yep, they did. Yes, right.
Shout out to hip hop. So like they had several attempts to get Halo, because that's the one thing Xbox did, and then eventually Gears as well. But that's, you know, the one thing that Xbox did that Sony just couldn't match. Resistance. So everyone, and I know every Xbox or any Sony pony, you know, back in the always wanted to destroy Halo, because that's, they had the bragging rights, and Sony didn't like that. And it'll just be kind of poetic if they ended up killing the studio that made the actual good Halo games. Unlike whatever the hell studio, what name do they have now? It's not 343 anymore. The Halo Studios?
He's a Halo Studio now.
Yeah, it's the Microsoft gaming of names, developers. So yeah, I find it funny. In an interesting timeline, it would be interesting to see, like, if Xbox would be telling Sony, like, hey, you know what? Can we borrow Bungie to make the next Halo game?
Damn.
And just,
that'd,
you know,
be hilarious.
Halo is going through it. Yeah, it would be hilarious. But, you know, it'd be like that meme of the Bloods in the Crib dudes that, you know, where they're hanging the flag.
With their do-rags together.
Yeah, that's, it'll be some sort of unification. You know, we need it during these times, so it might heal the world. You never know.
That's it, you know?
Well, hold on a second, Carlos. So are you saying you do not believe that Halo Studios, quote-unquote, can make a good Halo game?
Rich, let me tell you this. I don't think Halo Studios thinks they can make a good Halo.
Damn! That's funny, man. All right. Before we go to the next question, I'm going to bring up something that may seem random, but we already kind of talked about Jeff Keighley. And the next question is about Summer Game Fest, which is also Jeff Keighley thing. Okay, so I just saw my timeline right now, and I had to check the date. I'm like, is this something old? So the Fatal Fury account, 15 minutes ago, posted that they just received the plaque for winning Best Fighting Game of the Year at the Game Awards. It takes that long to ship this stuff? They won it in December. Wow.
Yeah, a lot of times they don't. Well, I mean, the thing is that I'm guessing also it's like they either, I don't know if they actually walk away with their award, but they think they just have those awards that sit on the podium for there for now, and then they put them, you know, they send them out later.
Yeah, but yeah, congratulations, you finally got your award all these months later. That's crazy, man. All right, next question here from Mr. Lego Bro. Since we have less than a month before Summer Game Fest, is there anything you guys want to see? Ooh, we'll go around the room for fun. Rich, we'll start with you first, since you'll actually be at attendance at Summer Game Fest.
Oh, yeah. So I'm a very, very simple person. One thing I will say, yes, Gears of War E-Day, because Microsoft is having their showcase around the same time as Summer Game Fest is that same weekend. I will say this in case nobody caught it. You know, Triple Mania, which is owned by WWE, they have an event that's coming up in September. And one of the sponsors of that event is Gears of War E-Day. That event is in September. Now, if you guys don't know, anytime they have a sponsor for a match or an event, that means that the game is actually coming out or it's out around that time. So I'm expecting them to announce a September release date for Gears of War E-Day based off of that information. I would like to see that for sure get announced. And the one other thing I will throw in as well, we already know that Capcom is working on something else. I've seen rumors online of a lot of games they could be working on. So I'm going to go ahead and say yes, I would like to see them announce whatever else they're working on, whether it's Devil May Cry, which I saw there have been rumors, stuff about that online. And then, of course, there have been rumors about another Resident Evil game. But yes, those are two things I definitely want to hear about at Summer Game Fest for sure.
Yeah. For me, I need to see more Virtua Fighter 6, man. We haven't seen shit in like over a year now, Rich. So we need that. We need that Virtua Fighter. And Manny, I'm going to answer for you. If you're not busy doing whatever it is you're doing.
No.
I'm going to answer for you. Control Resonant.
Yep. Control Resonant. You know me well. Yeah, I would like to see some more of Control Resonant. It looks like Gravity Rush.
Yes. That's a good one.
Anyway, yeah, it looks interesting. I enjoyed the original Control. I played the hell out of that game, so it'll be interesting to see Dylan. Also, that actor who played Dylan finally getting his own game. Because if you remember back when what was that other game? Quantum Break was announced.
Quantum Break, yeah.
When that was announced, it was actually the Dylan guy that was the main character for that original featurette that they did. And then later on, when the game showed up again, all of a sudden it was Iceman.
Yeah, that's right. Oh man.
Yeah. So now he finally gets his own game. That guy, I think he was also in Quantum Break as well.
Yeah.
So they you know, pushed him aside and they got Iceman to be the main character. But yeah. So it's good to see him get his own game, and we'll see what's going on, man. Like, New York is looking pretty fucked up in there, man. Looking like Inception and shit.
Carlos, what do you want to see at Summer Game Fest?
I'm also looking forward to see if they show more of Heatrol.
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 And are they going to... So here's the thing. I haven't been in the know, but is Code Veronica been announced yet?
Not yet.
The remake?
Not yet. So there you go.
So maybe it'll get announced in this. Because I feel like when you got that much smoke, it's bound to happen. And I don't know. What else? I mean, GTA 6, I don't think...
They don't. They're going to do their own thing, you know?
I mean, it would be a huge surprise if they did. Those two for sure, because I'm not too certain what else they provide. Maybe those surprises.
Yeah, right. Brian, is there anything you're looking forward to seeing at Summer Game Fest?
It's a good question, because I honestly have no idea. Again, I have zero doubt that GTA 6 will not be there, because again, as you said, they'll just do their own thing. I don't know. I honestly cannot think of any games that are coming out in the close couple of years that I'm aware of that I would like to see. Because again, GTA 6 is GTA 6, so that's like the big one, but there's not really been anything announced. There has been talk of a Monster Hunter Wilds expansion being talked about soon. So whether or not that will be at the Games Fest, another question, but that would be nice. But apart from that, no.
All right. I'm assuming Brett's going to give us a similar answer. Brett, is there anything you want to see at Summer Game Fest? Have you kept up with any of that?
I don't care. I don't trust anything or anybody anymore.
Fair enough. That's what I figured.
But what? Even your boys?
FromSoft?
No.
I don't know exactly what's exactly going on there, but I've learned to just be like, hey, you know what?
There is no advantage in me getting excited ahead of time. So we'll just kind of see what happens when it happens. Honestly, my life is better a little bit off the hype train. Like, there was a time when riding the hype train was worth the cost of admissions, right? Like, that dopamine, like, and honestly, even the last time that it was, and I was even hesitant then when everyone's like, Elden Ring might be the best game I've ever played. And even as a FromSoft fan, I was like, all right, you need to calm the fuck down. And I had this conversation with Tony, and I was like, dude, I think this might be the best game. Like, but, like, it's happening less and less. And, like, our expectations are actually kind of going down, right? It's not true. Like I got an Elden Ring and now I'm expecting another Elden Ring. I'm just expecting a fun, functioning game that has an enjoyable, you know, loop of play. Like many of us said, like it's games are not designed to even actually be fun anymore. They're designed to be engaging, and it's a whole fucking different thing. So at this point, I'm just kind of like, you know what? Our motives aren't aligned. I will see what comes out after it comes out. Even down with like Baldur's Gate, like it's a double-edged sword. Yeah, I believe in early access and I believe in Larian, but I also wanted to play Baldur's Gate blind, so I didn't participate in the early access. Meanwhile, I was playing early access for years, and like, fuck, I might have beaten Valheim and been done with it before it even released, but does that mean I didn't get a full game's worth out of it? No. Dude, I got like a full game's and like two or three DLCs out of that shit. It's been an insane value. So, I don't know. For me, it's kind of come down to, you can go back into the kitchen and prepare a meal and tell me it's going to be as delicious as you want, but we have two options. I'm either going to sit here and watch you make it like a fucking Subway customer. Don't eat there, by the way. Or I'm going to wait until it comes out of the kitchen before I judge you. Those are the two options. I'm not going to start salivating because you're promising me a fucking steak. Fool me 9 times. Shame on me for being retarded.
I love it.
I mean, here's the thing. For me, I don't like, I mean, like, I don't really get hyped. Like, you know, I'm interested and want to see more about Control Resonance, but I also don't, you know, you guys know, I don't like get like, oh my God, this is the greatest game ever.
Oh yeah, no, I'm actually going to more where Manny is at. Like, and it sounds bad because I'm making it sound more doom and gloom because I'm coming from like Mr. Hype guy, but like, I'm just kind of coming down to join the rest of you guys in realistic expectations.
I mean, yeah, just wait for it to, you know, just wait for it to come along. And if it looks like something you might want to play, then that's it. But I feel like I definitely agree with you on the that thing where, in other words, the hype gets so out of control and so explosive that even the game itself can't even like stand up to that anticipation, you know?
Well, don't get me wrong. Like, okay, so there's a bit of a parable here. I'm going to throw it to y'all. My dad, when I was younger, he told me he used to buy a lottery ticket every week. And when I asked him about it, like, he never thought he was going to win the lottery. But he used to tell me, you know what? Sometimes $5 is worth it just to dream for a week. And I get it, right? I understand that some people, and I've been that guy myself, like, you can live in perpetual hope. And that's a better place to be, right? Because by the time you're disappointed in one thing, you're already excited about the next thing. The problem comes when you've been let down so many times that it's like trying to give yourself an affirmation, right? Like, some people can look in the mirror and give themselves an affirmation, right? And then there are the rest of us who look in the mirror, and if we ever try to be like, you got this, you're strong, there's a voice inside of our head that goes, you piece of shit, shut the fuck up, what are you doing? You try to hypnotize yourself, convince yourself some bullshit. You know what you can do when you know what you can do. Get off your ass and just fucking do it, right? Like, so it's, yeah, like, I can sit here and tell myself, like, my back doesn't hurt in the mirror all I want. But there's enough of my brain that knows my back fucking hurts. That shit is never going to work, right? Like, I can sit there and, like, trying to tell myself, like, okay, well, here, how do we go? Like, how do we adapt? But, you know, it's at a certain point, wishing on the 1% becomes more of a burden, even if you're looking at it from the practicality of I'm happy most of the time. Because that happiness, you know, becomes unrealistic. And even when I was being disappointed 95% of the time, I could at least ride that 5% wave into the next success, right? But the problem is, we've gone from me going from oasis to oasis to me being stranded in the fucking desert for 3 months before finally finding a drop of water to drink. It's making going out into the desert a lot less fucking exciting and making me a lot less like, let's do it, I'm sure it'll work itself out. That's a great way to turn you from an optimist into a cautionary tale.
There you go. Welcome to my world. You know?
Yep. But it's just, I'm not, I want to make it clear. I still think optimism is, if you can manage it, a happier way to live. Like, if your day-to-day life is, I'm always looking forward to something versus I'm always being disappointed in something, it's a better way to be. And that makes it all the worse that the video game companies and the big companies have fucking put me in a place where I can't even have that anymore. I can't even live off that hope. And, you know, I wasn't planning on winning the lottery, but y'all have stolen the hope of the $5 ticket, so I can't even have that. I can't even pretend while y'all be fucking me.
Motherfucker. All right, that was good. Let's move on here. This one's interesting, and we did mention FromSoft. Do you believe the From Software rumors about a pirate game that goes to islands for adventure? Brett, have you heard about this? I sure as fuck haven't.
Okay, why do you do this to me? I just got done telling you I don't get hyped, and now you're like, hey, basically FromSoft's making One Piece the video game. Like, fuck you, Tony.
I didn't know. Don't blame me.
I'm just yelling the digital cloud here, but goddamn it, like, I have never so immediately been served crow. Fuck me.
Yeah, that's funny.
We got your letter ticket, Brett.
Brett, have you heard of this? I have not.
That was the first time I heard of it. Like, yeah. I feel a little trapped there, bait and switched. Is this set up?
No, it's not. And we're gonna go into this because again, we're all learning tonight. This is from Game Rant. Rumor: From Software could be making a pirate game. Okay. A bold new leak is claiming that the next From Software game could be something completely unexpected, potentially giving pirates the spotlight before the Dust Bloods even comes out. From Software has made a name for it. Anyway, I hate when the fucking articles give you a history lesson. Tell me the fucking rumor and then get to the history lesson at the end. You know,
I wouldn't have clicked on the article if I didn't already know who From Software is, you fucking moron.
Yeah, sorry. Jesus Christ. No, Brett, I hate this shit. If you read any of my articles, I will never give you a fucking history lesson. I will tell you the thing to read.
You literally do that shit out.
That's exactly that what it is.
You out to get you to scroll, to get you to go across. But like, it is there. Honestly, anytime that I see people telling me the history of something I already know, I know they're being disingenuous douche canoes.
Yeah, I like that. First and foremost, it's important to know that this is this leak originally came from 4chan. Oh, that's already, yeah. Granted, there have been some leaks shared on 4chan that have turned out to be true, but claims as bold as these should be taken with a massive grain of salt. Very true. The leak in question, which was shared on Reddit by users, So you guys said From Software's next game is titled Cerulean Onslaught, and it's a dark action RPG that could release before Dust Bloods. When it comes to gameplay, all the leak says is that the main objective involves players sailing the ocean, exploring islands. Player ship will also allegedly serve as a central hub. One of the most interesting aspects of this massive rumor is that it claims that this From Software game could be announced as soon as next month. Summer Game Fest, potentially? According to the leaker, Brett, there you go.
You just said something that tells me. You just triggered.
Oh,
bro, the central hub. At first, I was like, Cerulean pirates going to main places, being on a ship. I feel like someone just borrowed from Black Flag. And then you hit on the classic From Software, this is your central hub. And I'm like, ah, fuck, there's the architecture. I see the stitching. That may be true. That may actually be true.
Yo, yeah. Brett, because I got a golden ticket.
Because I was like, you're sending the ship around. There's no, like, they don't do that. Like, From's never done mechanics like, you know, vehicle combat or something like that. But if this is just basically your fucking your dream or your Firelink is your ship, and you know, instead of, you know, going to a portal, you just select where you want the ship to go, and boom, you're there. Like, that makes so much sense. And it builds on the skeleton that they're already doing. So, like, okay, cool. So, same skeleton, pirate coat of paint. Even if this isn't true, here's the thing. Miyazaki is a cool enough motherfucker to be like, y'all hear about Reddit going crazy for this pirate ship? We should actually do that. Like, they were not going to do an Elden Ring DLC. People just got so excited. They're like, all right, cool. Like, From's one of the few companies that just kind of, like, listens to what, like, that. This could be a self-manifesting thing if we get hyped enough, which makes it its own whole thing. But, yeah, that hub system is the thing that makes me be like, okay, now I'm actually listening.
Yeah. The next sentence I was going to read actually did say Summer Game Fest. So here's the next part. The leakers' bold predictions don't stop there, though. From Software's Pirate Adventure will supposedly come out in August, which would be before Dust Bloods is going to launch. Such a reveal would be a huge twist from the developer. So far, there aren't any details saying whether the game will be multiplayer or solo. Dust Bloods and Elden Ring's multiplayer have been a big departure from Software's usual formula, so if a pirate game does become reality, it will be interesting to see if it continues this multiplayer trend, goes back to single-player focus. They all have multiplayer, except for Sekiro. So I would imagine this is going to have it, too. But that would be
wild. They're not going to go back to a Sekiro.
Yeah, no, they're not.
But like, I think it was their least successful game.
That was actually one of their more successful games, actually, Brett.
Really?
Yeah, it sold a shit ton, you know?
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess their exponential growth as a company would also have some weird factoring into that. But like, I think the asynchronous multiplayer is kind of one of the things they're kind of known for.
I agree.
I don't think Night Rain is they're going to be their standard thing. I don't think Sekiro is going to be their standard thing. The asynchronous multiplayer is kind of their signature thing. I don't see them abandoning that. And yeah, for like the idea of pirates, I mean, it's just a good coat of paint. It's just one of those, it hasn't really been done, but at the same time, we just saw a pirate Yakuza game. So I don't know what the fuck's going on in Japan with pirates, they but like it's them. Something.
So, doing
a Bloodborne spiritual successor, but with pirate.
Oh yeah.
In other words, it's still that era, you know, because it is that sort of Victorian sort of era, right? But what if you decided like, okay, we can't do Victoria era without it feeling like Bloodborne. We don't want to do Bloodborne for Sony. So Bloodborne 2 for Sony.
Yeah. So if this rumor. Yeah. Go ahead. I was just going to say, if this rumor is true, it seems like we're going to get an announcement at Summer Game Fest. And then during Summer Game Fest, I'll be like, oh, this game comes out 2 months from now. That'd be nuts.
I mean, they may shadow drop it. I don't think it'd be 2 months from now. Yeah. I think it would be, you know, closer to holiday. I think they may say like October, November.
No, August is closer to Brett. Think about it. Announcement in June, drops in August.
Yeah, I don't think that they're gonna do. I don't think they're gonna shadow drop it 2 months later. I think they'll
maybe
4 to 6 months later. Like to be like even saying like coming later this year. Like even when fucking Fallout did that shit, it was like oh my fucking god. Like when you're like yo, like 2 months is almost not enough time to plan for some shit. So for them to come Fallout out Summer Games Fest today,
yeah, Fallout did do it. They did do it.
Still talk about that shit.
Yep.
And like, yo, don't be wrong.
Check this out, guys.
Yeah.
Yo.
Just real quick. Just think about it. Just go with me for a second.
Uh-oh.
Close your eyes and dream.
Where are you going, Carl? Where are you going?
We're going to the open seas, fellas. Here's the thing. Jeff Keighley's going to come out. He's going to fake cry. It's going to be the last announcement. This is going to break the torrents curse. And they announce a From Software Bloodborne style pirate game with you're gonna fight a boss battle Kraken. That's gonna be Kraken. Anyways, here's the thing: they announced the game and they showed the date, and the date is the same day that GTA 6 comes out.
Oh, I can dream, right?
Disregarding everything you just said, motherfucker.
we're buying a lot of tickets to this game.
Carlos is basically being like, so who's going to fight, Wolverine or the Hulk? Bitch, you know what you're doing. I'm here for it. I'm not saying I'm not.
Yeah.
We've all had that argument. We'll all have it fucking again. But like, and here's the thing too. Like the more I think about it, the more I'm like, I'm not even convincing myself of this. I'm like, this is not as far-fetched as it seems, right? Like, it sits on the structure of the game they already played. Manny brings up a great point. They've already touched on a lot of the aesthetics as one of their most famous games, but they can't touch on it, again, because it's a Sony IP. How do you get back to that Bloodborne vibe without doing Victorian? You fucking add some Davy Jones bullshit up in there, right? And there's so much cool, like, Davy Jones, you know, like, there is so much weird mythos and death and destruction and horror elements that go with
Eldritch,
that kind of
Eldritch yeah. water shit.
Yeah. Yeah, like there's so much opportunity. And like at first what sounded like a random mismatch of sandwiches, the more we talk about it, the more I'm like, this actually seems like a pretty reasonable, like if the last one was like, hey, we're gonna do Game of Thrones, that's fine, but that means they're probably pivoting away from that direction. So what's the new coat of paint? Yakuza just came out, it's a pirate thing. Pirates are kind of coming back, man. So, like, it hits all the boxes. It lets them pick up as a spiritual successor to Bloodborne, taking it out of Nintendo's. Like, they can give Nintendo, they're like, yeah, here's your Bloodborne 1.5. We're going to make Bloodborne 2.0 that's Black Flag. Like, ooh, ooh. And again, no ship sailing. I do not expect ship sailing in this, but just using that as a hub, fucking brilliant. Like, brilliant. That's how you use narrative, right? Not making me crawl through a hole while you load the next screen. That's fine. Like, I don't need to sit there and sit, like, I've sailed in games. I've sailed in Valheim. I've literally spent 45 minutes getting from one cave to another. It's honestly not that fun sometimes. It's usually super stressful. And that can be cool, but, like, for the most part, yeah, shorten that hub. Hide things behind the window dressings. Like, damn it, I'm getting hyped.
Hey, it happened, Brett. After the whole spiel about not getting hyped anymore, here you are.
I know. He fucking served me
but
a
you
hot
said,
fresh
but you
curl
said,
over this bitch.
But they
you said 5%.
They said two magic words, From Software and Pirate.
Yes.
And yeah, oh, yeah. The two most magic words. The hub is actually the thing that you'd be like, oh, maybe this is real. Because immediately my brain went to Black Flag. I think everybody went, their brain would probably go to Black Flag. And that's the thing that makes this sound like suspiciously on the nose for me. Because your initial inclination would be, oh, cool, so they're going to do a Black Flag thing. But then they specifically mentioned the hub. So either this motherfucker is deep in the know, and, you know, they might be. They're on 4chan, so they could be doing an excellent job of faking it. But to be like, if I were to be a snake oil salesman trying to sell the internet a catch-on-fire theory here, I'd be claiming this shit was Elden Ring meets Black Flag. But what it sounds like they're saying is that they're using a pirate ship and islands to act as your hub theme for a pirate coat set of paint that is going to let them essentially tap into, the Disney Pirate of the Caribbean movies and blend it with Bloodborne to make something uniquely horrific for somebody who has fear of water. And that actually sounds like them. They just did their mech game. So it's about time for something to give us nightmares again. And it's not going to be the shit they're shipping out to Nintendo. Like, let's be honest. That's the shit that they have to do. And the shit that Nintendo convinced them to do, that's not their passion project. And their passion projects are usually weird as shit. So again, it's kind of tracking.
Yeah. All right. So I guess, put a pin on this one. Dreams may happen. All right. And the last question of the night, Mr. Eurocar 9, one of our favorites. This one's a little bit of a long one, so bear with me here. If I live to be a very old age, I'm assuming that my Steam library will be thousands of games deep. You mean it isn't already, Mr. Eurocar? My question is, should Steam account holders be able to add their Steam accounts to a will, similar to how they entrust other things such as property, bank accounts, or even collectibles? Here's what our AI overlords say about this. This is a fascinating legal gray area that highlights the difference between owning something and licensing it. The technical and legal answer is no, you cannot legally bequeath a Steam account in a will. According to the Steam subscriber agreement, your account and the games in it are, quote, non-transferable, unquote. Essentially, you don't own the games. You own a personal lifetime license to play them. The license officially expires when you do. Damn. I guess that answers that question. I don't have to say shit.
Actually, interestingly enough, that's not how it works.
Are you questioning our AI overlords, motherfucker?
Of course I am. I question them 9 times a day. Fuck, I'm building a mini rig to make my own AI overlord with blackjack and hookers.
That's funny.
They can't fucking gaslight me.
Yeah, continue,
but,
sir.
Damon Hossler here. What we're saying?
Steam account, license, transferring it in
oh,
your will.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So they do this weird thing where you can actually add family members to Steam, and I don't think that like disconnects after you've been not logged in for any amount of time. I think that just stays that way until they take you out of their family. So theoretically, when you die, all of your games will be able to be played by everybody in your family, but you won't be able to kind of bequeath them. They won't be able to bequeath them to anybody. So like, and that if that ends up being the structure, I think I'm weirdly okay with that. Like, I don't need, I think multi-generational games being passed down would be A, hardware legacy, B, fall into free use after a while, and C, probably have, you know, environmental degradation that would make it probably never actually be a thing. We're not really caring about our great-grandpa's records, so I don't see how that's that much of an issue. But yeah, if I have a shitload of Steam games and I share them to everybody in my family and I die, don't fucking deactivate my account. just leave that shit there in perpetuity. And when, you know, when all those people are dead, then that shit just evaporates and nobody cares anymore. It becomes a non-issue. But it's weird that you say that, like, now I'm wondering, like, if they find out you're dead, will they go in and shut down your Steam account? And this is all Invisible Balls, too. Like, by the time we're old, like, they could change the terms of service. So, honestly, none of this really matters. We should still find a way to own our games, because even if they say right now, oh, no, you keep it for your entire life, like, okay, well, they're just going to change their mind in 10 years, I guess. So, you know, I think I'm done trusting them, and that's why I've been kind of doing the home labbing thing and getting into my own server setup. Is like, fuck Netflix and fuck Game Pass and fuck all the streaming services, and I'm just going to... The Happy Place. The Happy Place gets it, man. Like, it's the Happy Place is the future.
Hmm. I want to read some of the stuff the real Innate said here. He's dropping some facts right now. He goes, I've had this discussion about your digital games needing to go to somewhere else. If they could just log into the account, why not just let you transfer them with a death certificate? Steam Family does stay connected, but they should have a transfer system. Again, provided there is definitive, verifiable proof of that person's death. My friend has almost 3,000 games and wants me to have them if he passes. So it's a legit want for some people. Thanks for dropping that.
Well, yeah, but your friend doesn't actually have 3,000 games. And, like, that's the problem. And, like, that's the thing we've been arguing about forever.
3,000 games.
He has 3,000 licenses.
Yes,
and
that's true.
That's the problem. You cannot pass those on. Those are licenses. It's a complete... We were yelling about this a decade ago, and nobody fucking listened. And these are the actions... I'm not saying this is your fault or you had anything to do with this, but I'm just saying, like, we all knew that this was coming. So, like, there's no way... Like, it's an unreasonable ask to be like, yo, I should be able to own the games. It's not a transferable asset. It never was. It was never intended to be. The infrastructure has been steamrolled. It's not a choice. So, like, yeah, I'd love that, too. Pirate your shit, then. Outside of that, I feel like him giving you access to those 3,000 games is a good compromise. Sure, you can't give them to other people, but if they say that, like, you will never lose access to the 3,000 games he wanted you to have access to, I mean, hey, that's something. And you know, the era of dystopian corporate overlords and whatnot, that's, I ain't too bad. But again, I don't trust that shit's not going to change, so get yourself a ship and sail those seas.
Carlos, what do you say about this? Yeah, that's true. But yeah, Carlos, getting here. But what do you say?
Yeah, it's one of those things that's kind of murky. I just feel because there is something that was I was looking at. I went through rabbit hole about this, and I did see some people talk about it. And one of them even mentioned someone mentioned that it's like, oh, well, you can give your login credential you want it to inherited, and that can work. But the thing is, you know, if the person that it's inheriting already has their own account, then that all means that they're just going to be playing those games someone else's. People like having those achievement stuff and all the tracking stuff and have their own record of them playing the games instead of someone else's. So I completely understand wanting to have those licenses transferred. I wish they could. I mean, it would be cool if they could do like, hey, maybe a one-time thing. You know, like these licenses can only be transferred once in their entire existence and only in the case of someone's death. That I feel like that'd be good on if they could ever do.
Okay. I'm gonna come out and expose myself here, not the trench coat way, but in the other way, and be like, "Hey guys, just a thing. You know, you can use local language models with something called Obliterator to do things like data scraping. So in a handful of years, every game that you have on Steam will be able to be copied, jailbroken, and saved to a private server by an automated agent that can live in your cell phone." We are this close to being able to break the tech of blockchain and ruin Bitcoin. I think scraping the data and saving your favorite games from the stuff that you've been allowed to download onto your computer, and then basically the AI will just build the entire background as an emulation suite and be like, yep, we're calling PlurStation. Yep, that's who's it. Yep, PlurStation answered. It says you own the game. You can use basic man-in-the-middle shit. Like, honestly, even simple hacker attempts are going to be able to get around this so fast in just a few years. So it sounds doom and gloom, but also you can jailbreak an AI bot to teach you how to build a pipe bomb. You didn't hear that from me, but we're going to be able to figure out, oh, so can you just figure out a way to make it so that I can save my games locally and hack Jenna Key? Yeah, you can. Great. Do it. Done. So I think we're going to be in a really interesting time where there's going to be a new golden age of piracy, and it's going to look really fucking weird.
I should just say this for legal purposes. The views of Brett Murdoch do not reflect those of Throwdown. Just putting that out there.
Exactly. I am a not giving a fuck. Fuck your system. I will not eat the bugs. I will not own anything unlike it. Go fuck yourself, and I'll put that on the record.
Good stuff. Hold on. Let's see what Nate's dropping in here. And that's the part that needs to change. Consumer rights governments need to start taking digital rights seriously, but we know it'll come from Europe. I've had my own Plex server for several years now with approaching 1K movies, and I'd love to be able to give my PSN games to my nephew. But yeah, I get that it isn't going to change without consumer rights groups understanding there's an issue to begin with.
Actually, okay, I want to, and I'm going to nerd out here because my ass is getting into AI and home labbing myself, like tearing apart my shit. What you're doing is called digital sovereignty, and I think that is the fucking future. Hosting our own Plex servers, like digging through our own stuff, building our own server racks at home, that kind of thing. Like, we need to stop relying on the cloud because it's not just video games. Everything is in the cloud, and it's the reason everything fucking sucks. It's the reason your seat heaters have a fucking subscription right now. Like, even AI, the problem with AI isn't that it can make associative connections. It's that A, we hand our brain over it to shit that we really shouldn't, and B, we're doing so while renting it like a fucking utility per thought. Like, here's an idea. Control it, run it, weigh it, build your own programs. Like, but don't ever let it be the boss of you. But like, yeah, let run your email or like set an alarm, remember your dog's fucking birthday or whatever. So I think that you are hitting on hitting the nail on the head. And I think it's a little bit out of scope for some of y'all video gamers here, but like, I will say, like, I have been kicking the idea around as somebody who is functionally retarded and middle-aged, trying to refigure out hardware and a maker lab as a middle-aged idiot. So if y'all be interested, I'm thinking about like kind of bridging up a YouTube, and let me know if you want to see me stumble and swear at digital clouds and probably get a lot of shit wrong, because I'm not the guy in the collared shirt telling you how to use agentic swarms to make $1,000 an hour. I do not understand that, but I am Ernest Goes to the Singularity. I'm really curious if there's even an audience for this or if I should just fuck off back to my tower. So seriously, let me know.
The Real Innate says, yeah, I got tired of looking for a movie that I've bought on VHS and DVD just to be told I need to buy it again. It all started with wanting to watch Heavyweights from 1995.
Bro, Amazon took 3 seasons of Final Space away from me because they decided to retire the license because it was worth more as a tax write-off. Those bitches, that poor creator cutting them off before his 4th season, but I loved that shit. And it took it right out of my fucking account. Boof, like dust in the fucking wind, right? And that's what I was like, okay, not loving this. And now, I don't know if you guys know about this. I'm going to go off on a bit of a tangent right here. I don't know if you guys know about Google's federative learning. They launched a Google Gemini Nano that now lives on your fucking computer, learns from you. It doesn't send away your data. Don't worry, it doesn't. It's anonymized, right? It's not hacking your privacy. It's not telling the store that you bought Hawaiian sweetbread this week. It's simply learning that you buy Hawaiian sweetbread at the local supermarket every Wednesday as a habit, and then sending that analog data behavior back to Google so that they learn your patterns and you as a person, not necessarily just those scrubby little details that are fucked up by data law. And it does this all using your own hardware and your own silicone to then send it back to Google so they don't have to crunch those numbers on those data farms that they're paying so much money for. That's where I finally fucking snapped. That's where I went crazy. And that's now why I'm building crazy robot arms and getting ready to build a cyberpunk street samurai rucksack with a decentralized AI brain that can tell the government to go fuck itself. So again, let me know if you guys are interested.
Good stuff. All right, any other thoughts on that from anyone? Steam library in your will? It's an interesting question, that is for sure.
GitGog, put everything on a server, will the server to your friends.
Yeah. All right, if nothing else, let's start wrapping it up, you know. Rich, what's coming up on the coalition this week that you're allowed to talk about?
Yeah, so first and foremost, a shout out to Mr. Adam Vail, the TV Terminal. Feel free to check out the TV Terminal YouTube, as well as the shows he's been covering, because he covers all the shows, like you guys said. Working on a couple of different things, a couple of things that are coming out. Can't really say too much. All I can say for now is stay tuned to thecoalition.com as well as the Coalition Gaming. You'll see quite a bit of things that I'll be covering throughout the week.
All right. Manny, you got anything?
Nope. All quiet on the Western Front.
Hey.
You know, just got some in the pipeline that I can't talk about as of yet. You will see. That's all I can say.
All right. Actually, real quick, since you did bring it up on Thursday, how was the show that you went to attend?
Oh, it was nice. It was a local show, a local comic convention that's done at the P. Berg High School in P. Berg, New Jersey, or Phillipsburg, New Jersey. So it's a little Comic Con, but you know what's cool about the Comic Con? A lot of the artists and creators that actually show up there are all really sort of donating their time. So you have a lot of people like that would show up, like some well-known artists, like Jose Garcia Lopez, who's did a lot of the DC. If you ever owned anything DC related from the 80s and the 90s, and had like shirts or pillowcases, any of that stuff, Jose Lopez Garcia did all of that artwork. So like anything, if like you found like a Superman card or anything like that, that was all his work. Super prolific artist, still as good as he ever was, still working, by the way, at almost 90 years old. So he showed up, and Lee Weeks showed up. Usually Walt Simonson shows up, but unfortunately he had to cancel along with Weezy, Luis Simonson, because of he had to have an eye operation. So hopefully he feels better or gets well soon. And also Rudy Nebris, who's the a well-known Marvel artist, who's unfortunately, I think I mentioned before that his son passed away last year, and he's still rocking it too. Still drawing. He's losing his hearing and his eyesight's going, but he's still drawing. Man. So a lot of other artists from the industry all showed up, and it was a really nice event. And it was nice to be back this year. I went originally in 2022. During the pandemic, when we all had to wear masks and things, and it was a good show. So it was nice to be at a version of the show where everything, everybody could be, you didn't need to do the little social distancing thing. You didn't need, everybody didn't need to wear masks and all that other stuff. Yeah, it was a good show. All right, I would suggest if you are in the tri-state area, you should keep an eye on the P. Berg, Comic-Con, because there is quite a bit of people there that it's very hard to find some of these people where I mean Lee Weeks does do shows, but I don't know how much shows he actually does. I haven't seen him at a lot. And Jose Luis Garcia, I'll be honest I never seen him anywhere.
Yeah, so that's true.
So yeah. And also Rags Morales, the artist from the Coheed and Cambria Amory Wars book that I worked on a few years ago was there too. So, a couple of Coheed and Cambria fans came in and, got their book signed, which was great.
That's cool. Yeah. And by the way, Manny, I looked it up a few times because he's one of those Spanish guys with 50 fucking names. It's Jose Luis Garcia Lopez. It's like, bro, you can just cut two of those names, man.
To be honest, I think he signed, I got something signed. I think he signed it Garcia Lopez or something.
Yeah, because that's the last part. Yeah, that's the last part.
Yeah, I think also, especially with Jose Lopez, there's a thousand.
Yo, that's your brother.
That's my dad. That's my brother. That's also me, because my middle name is Jose. So, there's a lot of Jose Lopez. I'm sure he just I just shortened it to Garcia Lopez.
Yeah, well, actually, he extended it to Jose Luis Garcia Lopez. It's like, we're throwing all the names in there, man. Some family members like that too, where it's like, it's like you got five fucking names, like, bruh. Because not only do they have all those names, but then they add whatever town they're from. Like, okay, here we go.
Well, he is also from Spain, so he's not Latin America Spanish. He's
that's
Spanish,
why,
Spanish.
Yeah, Spanish, the original recipe. Good stuff, man. All right, let's start wrapping it up. So be sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord gang. I saw a couple of new people this weekend, so welcome, welcome, welcome. And of course, you can find us on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Mungoma.
Hello, people.
All right, guys, we shall return on Thursday. Peace out.
Later.